This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the USA. Good afternoon from London, Nick. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny, how are you?
Very good for the end of the week. Let's start with the big data story of the day, and that's a little bit earlier where you are. The latest core PCE numbers, of course, very important in terms of inflation, interest rates, and so on. This, of course, following the Fed's announcement on Wednesday about holding rates. So what did we learn today?
Yeah, so PCE this morning came in pretty close to expectations and wasn't too much of a threat to markets, if you will. You know, there's been times in recent months where we've been on the edge of our seat about inflation. Well, today, market was a little bit appeased by what we got from the core PCE number. And as you mentioned, a really important one because it is, by the Fed's own wording, the preferred measurement of inflation that they use to kind of get a gauge of how prices are looking. So today's news was definitely welcomed by the market. We have a big kind of upside move in stocks this morning. The NASDAQ's up 1.5%. The S&P 500's up 0.85%. And recently, Johnny, we actually saw a good global participation. A lot of stocks globally rallying yesterday and today. You know, you had the German stock market, the DAX, up quite a bit, and other satellite stock markets doing quite well. You had Brazil and China also up. So seeing some good global market breadth in terms of stock market performance, which is great. That is welcomed in today's age. But one thing I wanted to mention with the core PC number, 2.8% year over year, still not at the 2% target, but could be worse. I think that's the way the market's looking at it, especially when you have most economic readings still producing pretty good figures. I think the market can live with that and things continue on. We've also had some recent headline news in the last few days with Trump still strong on tariffs. We know that this past weekend there was the Colombia threats, and then quickly some resolution there. And now put into place yesterday evening around 3:30 p.m., some comments by Trump kind of reinstating that February 1st there would be tariffs on Canada and Mexico coming. So we'll see those in the coming days and how that could potentially impact the markets as well. So lots of U.S. economic data and, of course, U.S. administration fiscal policy stuff, keeping the market on the edge of its seat.
We seem to be in a bit of a holding pattern at the moment, don't we, Nick? We're waiting to see what happens with the tariffs. The inflation number is neither bad or good. And interest rates, we're looking at, if anything, 2 or 3 months wait for any further cuts. So it's the calm before the storm, or maybe things maybe just looking up a bit.
Yeah, I mean, you take a look at government bond 10-year yield, and what you've got here is it's sitting around 4.51%. So to your point, not really drastically moving one way or the other. Of course, 4.5% is up from where we were several months ago, but down from where we were a few weeks ago. So, the 10-year yield telling you that there's still plenty of growth expected in this economy, but perhaps inflation concerns have at least subsided for the time being. There's a lot of uncertainty in this market. And maybe it takes us to our next concept, Johnny, which is commodities today.
Yes, we were just talking off air before we started, and gold is at near all-time highs, but oil is drifting.
Yeah, you've got gold 28.10 at the time of recording this in terms of a spot price against USD, and that's big stuff. I mean, I wonder too here, Johnny, if this is warning of something that market participants are potentially worried about. There's a multitude of things that it could be, but perhaps it's just the uncertainty that comes with the Trump administration. It's very different than most presidents in the sense that on a dime, Trump can say something to a reporter that really gets the market concerned. And I think that that uncertainty is making perhaps many investors, traders alike, flock to gold as just that risk asset, I guess, just to kind of offset some of their exposure perhaps in other places. But we do see gold trading up to 28.11. We have not seen a big downturn in the dollar to go with this. So that is what makes me kind of think it's a little bit more geopolitical rather than dollar weakness giving way to higher prices for gold. But then as you mentioned, you also have oil prices. Oil prices continuing to slide here, kind of across the last few weeks. And there's multiple reasons where that could be. But I think one of the big reasons is the recent headline stuff with Trump really wanting to get oil prices down. We know there's, of course, the geopolitical peace resolutions that people are kind of hopeful for. But I think that there's also just the increased oil production out of the U.S. and the attack on OPEC nations that seems to be going on from the administration trying to get those oil prices to budge lower, which would help with, of course, the global inflation story. But there's counterparties that perhaps don't want Russia to cease the actions in Ukraine. And OPEC is also known for wanting to keep oil prices at a good high level so that they can profit from them. So, you know, there's a lot of forces at play here. But again, right now, it seems oil prices sliding pretty substantially, going from, you know, low 80s for US WTI down to where we currently sit at 73.4, let's call it, on price of US spot oil.
Now, all week, we've been getting the latest big tech earnings. A mixed bag, wasn't it, really, for the likes of Microsoft, Tesla, and so on. The last of the big seven was Apple, Nick. How did they do?
Yeah, so Apple reported their earnings, and there was some mixed data initially. We saw the stock trade lower, but some interesting stuff came out of the report. And specifically, so if we take a look at like earnings, the actual numbers slightly, just narrowly beat on earnings and revenue. However, the big pop for Apple came and has since faded a little bit, but the big upside of 4% after hours move, there was some interesting stuff that was said, which was basically, although iPhone sales have continued to be a little bit disappointing, Apple's CEO, Tim Cook, actually made an interesting point in regards to iPhone sales in places where they've been releasing early access to the Apple AI stuff, right? So much of the upgrade cycle concerns about the Apple iPhone is that, you know, is new AI being introduced to the iPhone going to boost sales? Well, what was promising, it seems, is that places where that early access was released, there was an uptick in sales. So if that perhaps is a bigger, broader theme, it could revive some of the hopes about broader adoption of wanting to go buy out a new iPhone. And this is something just on a personal level. I don't know about you, Johnny, but I have an iPhone and you know, I don't really feel the need to go out and buy the newest, latest, greatest one, especially with, you know, they're very expensive. So it's like, what gets the consumer to go out and buy a new iPhone? And perhaps we know now many people are accepting and adopting AI chatbots into their day-to-day life. If there was a really powerful new upgrade cycle where you could get more AI, perhaps that would boost sales of the iPhone. I for me, again, I couldn't tell you the difference between most of the new models, but AI being implemented into their system could be something that could get people excited.
Finally, we've got a big week coming up, particularly over here on this side of the Atlantic. We've got the Bank of England announcement next Wednesday, Nick, and the money is on a much needed, as far as a lot of people are concerned, interest rate cut from the Bank of England. Are we going to see one?
Yeah, it should be an interesting week next week. Again, as you mentioned, a lot of some of the data points that we look at have been signaling that many places may be ready for rate cuts, including the UK. So we'll have to see. I mean, that is the likelihood there. And with next week being so big, you know, the other thing to mention here is that some of the US data has come in a little bit light. Inflation reads have been a little soft. So perhaps that gives the Bank of England just a slight sway towards, okay, maybe it's appropriate to cut rates as well. That's something to think about. We know these central banks, oftentimes we say that they move in a herd together.
Particularly with the ECB cutting interest rates again this week and the differential between the ECB rate and the Bank of England rate at the moment is quite marked, isn't it?
Exactly. And that's you know, the important point here is you're seeing perhaps some appropriateness to cut simply because you're seeing other central banks cut as well. So outside of the Bank of England, we do have the ISM manufacturing PMI numbers coming out for the US, JOLTS job openings, some employment data out of New Zealand. And then, of course, we have the first Friday of the month. You've got the NFP report coming out of the US. So action-packed, to say the least, for next week.
Indeed. We will speak to you then. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.